Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top five sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
Are you disappointed by the Houston Astros' failure to understand the impact of their cheating scandal? Do you believe their collective apologies? What is wrong with Jim Crane? Did he make matters worse? And what is a solution or proper penalty for that group?
Yeah, I am with what David said earlier. I kind of didn't think that they should be stripped of the World Series. Now I'm totally on board. Go ahead, strip them. They know nothing. They apparently learn nothing. I thought there were a couple of really bad moments for them, and it just was kind of painful to watch the squirming around. Listen, they didn't see this coming. Whatever they get this year, whatever fallout, whatever people yell at them, whatever damage is done to their legacy, they deserve that too. So I thought that it started with Jim Crane. That was just idiotic, and he kind of denied exactly what he just said. I mean, it was comical. Are you aware, sir, of what you're saying? I mean, how lost can you be in front of cameras? It's just incredible. I mean, you should know what you want to say, and you should be able to say it, especially when you've already fired other people over this thing, and it's not going to happen on your watch again. But, did you read the report? I'm not in the report. I mean, the guy, that was awful. I don't think there is a solution, and I don't think there's a proper penalty, because I think they've already gone too far with this. I don't think they're going to strip them their title. I don't think there's going to be any fallout from this other than fans and people in different stadiums around the country yelling at them. I think that there will be a lot of people doing that. But, I think that the moment is gone where they could have been punished for what they did. And this idea that everybody was cheating, we just happened to be better than everyone else. I got to tell you, that kind of makes me nuts.
I was disappointed. I think that when you had hoped that maybe when they met the media, finally they would have worked on some sort of sincere apology and maybe some more details just in terms of it showing that they understand and acknowledge just the severity of the situation. And I don't think they did. And I don't think that they got good advice, if they got any advice at all. You go into the situation hoping to control the damage by showing contrition. And all you did was you ended it by making the situation worse. And bad became worse in a hurry. Jim Crane sounded clueless. And the overriding message, the takeaway from this is that the Astros believe the end justified the means. And that's not acceptable. So if you're the commissioner and you're watching this, and I don't know that you can go retroactively and start to kind of dole out punishment again, but I think that the players, if this was indeed a player-driven thing, they have not shown any amount of contrition or acknowledgement that this was something that tainted their title. They believe they won it fair and square, from the players at the press conference to ex-Astros and other camps, which we'll get to in a moment. But this was not an organization that seems to have learned any lessons. So I would be all in favor of going back and saying that, this is a title that you didn't deserve. History will reflect that. And if you take it away, I would support that, because legacies matter. And right now, the legacy of the 2017 Houston Astros World Series champions is that they didn't earn it. They didn't win it. And they cheated to get where they are today. And that's been known as a World Series champion.
Yeah, I mean, this entire thing stinks. And for Jim Crane, the owner of the team, to go out there and be as clueless as he was, I mean, it just revives the story, doesn't it? I mean, we weren't talking about this yesterday, and now here we are today. Number one question on the 5 at 5, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of talk about it during the show. But to me, this screams, hey, you know what? We know MLB has done what it's going to do. All we need to do is address it with the media. Day one of training camp, let's get this out of the way. You know, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to get up here and do this. And let's go on with our lives because we already know that our punishment has been served. Well, you know, it's just a terrible look. And listen, I like Jose Altuve. I like Alex Bregman. I like Carlos Correa as baseball players, right? You want to like their talents because they are talented baseball players. The Astros have always been, as a National League guy, a fun team to watch in the American League. But man, I mean, you know, for the rest of their careers, now in the back of your head, you're going to be thinking, all right, Alex Bregman, you know, garbage can banging. Jose Altuve, you know, maybe wore a buzzer. Who knows? That was the other thing, too, in the locker room questioning, too. Altuve, instead of denying that he wore a buzzer, referred reporters to MLB not finding anything in the investigation, whether that's just semantics or whatever. But I mean, this whole thing, I mean, every time you bring it up, it stinks because you know what? They did it. They got caught. There's nothing else you can say about it, right? I mean, they got busted. They got caught.
I thought this yesterday was absolutely hilarious. I mean, it's just, it was such a farce. These guys don't have any...
Not a hint of emotion anything they said.
No remorse, no contrition, no regret over anything that they did. And why would they? They won the World Series. They made themselves and the organization and Jim Crane's dumbass millions and millions of dollars. They're not. There's not any real punishment. I mean, for them, for the owner, for the players, they're going to continue to go on and make more and more millions of dollars. You know, the GM and the manager, they're obviously out on the street now. But there are new. I mean, Dusty's there now, so he's going to right the ship, obviously. But why would these guys, you know, grovel in front of reporters yesterday and act like they actually care? I almost appreciate the fact that they were so nonplussed about the thing because they weren't BSing anybody. They're like, why should we care? We're up here because we have to be up here.
Right.
We have to address this. We're going to go on forward with the season. We don't really give a damn what anybody thinks. We won the World Series. We're always going to be World Series champions. I just thought it was hilarious. And honestly, I hope they win 120 games this year. I hope that they're a juggernaut. I hope they're a powerhouse. I hope they're better than they ever were before. Because I don't want an asterisk next to 2017, because there always will be, certainly. But I think that they need to, this group of players, and I agree with you, Espo, I like a lot of them very much. I think that they need to prove themselves all over again, and I think they're going to be able to do that. I think they're going to be very, very good again. We're not going to talk about a team that's all of a sudden going to be, you know, a 90-game loser or anything. These are still very talented players. It's a very good team. They're going to be good again. I hope they are good again.
I've never liked the Astros. I had to wear one of those Astros ugly orange and yellow uniforms in Little League Baseball. I had to be an Astro one year. Terrible look. I actually, this won't surprise anybody, disagree with Kevin. I hope they lose 120 games this year. Okay, I'm so sick of this story. I'm so sick of them. Every question to everybody is about this, whether you're with the Astros or not. MLB fouled this up from the start by granting these players clemency for their testimony, basically, right? That's where it all got fouled.
Probably the only way they would have gotten it, though. That's probably the only way we would have known. We would have suspected a lot, but I don't know that we would have gotten
David,
it any other way.
Do we need to know, though? Because there's really no penalty other than embarrassment, and you pointed that out very well, like, what has finding out done?
No, I know what you're saying, and it's a valid
damage the sport.
Bad publicity.
This is not one of those like any publicity is good publicity.
Right.
This is bad publicity that's bad. But this doesn't help MLB at all in any way, shape, or form.
But when you're investigating it, I don't know that you are already sort of anticipating there's going to be a soft penalty. Right? You're going into it thinking you're going to get as much information as you can. It's going to be as damning as you think it could be.
And I think what the Astros did yesterday is going to hurt the Red Sox potentially even more. What in the wide world of sports has taken so long to decide what they're going to do to them? I mean, what are they waiting on?
I think the only person that should answer those questions is him.
Whether Chris Bryant reports to the Cubs today or over the weekend, what do you expect his response to be to the trade rumors swirling around him and his loss of the grievance?
I think Chris Bryant's going to show up and be as focused as he always has been. I think this is the one guy in that clubhouse that seems to be oblivious to the noise around him. I don't expect him to be affected by The speculations, he's a baseball player, and I think that that's all he wants to do is he wants to play baseball. He's the guy that shows up to the park every day and says, I'll play wherever you put me. I'll bat wherever you want me. I am here to try to win today. And I would be shocked if his reaction is anything but that. That's, you know, the marriage between him and Scott Boras has always baffled me because Scott Boras is the ultimate meddler. He's the ultimate guy that wants to insert himself into a story. He's the ultimate guy that creates a lot of the noise surrounding his players and his clients, does a great job for them. But that's not Chris Bryant. Chris Bryant is a baseball player. So I would be, I would expect him to show up and say, I'm here until I'm not here. I love being part of the Cubs. I have always loved being part of the Cubs, and I hope that I'm part of the Cubs as long as they want me. And that's the Chris Bryant that I know, and that's the one that I expect to hear later today.
Yeah, I'll be stunned if he's anything less than a class act because he's always kind of like that. I would be really surprised if he complained about losing his grievance or if he addressed any of these many trade rumors that are swirling around. I saw one of the beat writers for the Rockies, Patrick Saunders, he tweeted out, lots of Rockies, Nolan Arenado for Cubs, Chris Bryant rumors floating out there. But one source told me that the Cubs might be creating media noise to make a better deal with Phillies, Nationals, or Braves. So that's kind of interesting. The idea that all this stuff is just it's there's not a level of truth to any of it other than just trying to jack up prices for other teams and hinting that something is imminent in order to try to get a better offer somewhere else. I think Chris Bryant will carry himself the way that we've seen him carry himself all the time, whenever he has been in front of the media. I think the guy, I would be very surprised if he went off on anyone.
Yeah, Molly, I was trying to think when I first read this question, have I ever heard Chris Bryant do anything in the media that was bad? And by bad, I mean like going off on whether it's management or his manager or teammates or an opposition or anything. The only thing I think of is the whole, you know, it's boring in St. Louis thing, which is a nothing.
It was
a
joke at Cub Fest. You're right. That's exactly. The only one.
So we know our answer, right? He's gonna say very vanilla things that mean nothing. And if he gets traded, he gets traded. And I'm sure he'll say nice things on the way out if he does get traded. But right. And if the Cubs don't get what they want on offer-wise this spring, then we'll do this all over again in July, right?
I don't think they mean nothing either, Despo. I think you're right, but I think that actually it would remind people that there are players that would handle this in a way that would be different, that would be distracting, and would be, you know, that's what makes a lot of this other stuff around this kind of a moot point, because he isn't like that.
No, he's not like that. He is he's not a boat rocker. He's not a rabble rouser. He's not somebody that's going to make a stink, whether it's in the media or privately. I don't think in the private conversations that he's going to have with Rossi and Theo and Jed and all those guys, I don't think he's going to make any trade demands, or he's not going to do that. He's not that kind of guy. He's a low key guy. He's basically a perfect angel on earth, and he does everything right at every point. He could never be a Houston Astro, essentially. So he can eliminate one trade partner from the rumor mill. So he's just going to come in. He's going to be asked about it. He's going to say, I'm a Cub. I'm focused on baseball. I'm focused on getting to work for 2020. He's going to be asked about the grievance. He's going to say, that's, you know, a business matter. You know, it's through my agent. I had, you know, very little to do with it. He's going to say all the right things. He's going to get to work. He's going to put his head down, and he's going to get ready to have a really good 2020 season, I think.
He'll do it exactly the opposite of what happened yesterday with the Astro players, that's for sure. I don't think that's something we could bet on and make some money on. He'll take questions. I think he'll answer the questions truthfully. I don't think he'll hide behind the agent. I don't think he'll say that's a conversation that my agent had with Theo, and I don't have the answer for that. I don't think he's going to do that. I really don't. So, but I don't know that I expect it today. I think he might wait until the last possible moment that he has to show up. So they're all going to play together come Monday, right? That's the first full.
He may want clarity.
Yep. Monday is full squad.
He may want to know as much as he can before he actually shows up, because why would you show up early and then have to pack and leave Sunday?
Exactly.
Wow, very tough question. Very, very hard.
Did Dallas Keuchel step in it at White Sox camp? Is the everybody was doing it excuse acceptable?
He didn't step in it. I mean, he's the first guy to apologize for it. I think that, you know, when he just might have, the mask may have slipped when he talked about the fact that that ultimately they earned it and that, you know, we have the right, we earned the right to be world champions. He said a couple of things that were kind of interesting. He said that he said something to the effect of just because stuff came out about the 2017 Astros doesn't mean other teams weren't doing illegal stuff. It just means we were the ones that were caught. Well, actually, it means you were the ones who won by doing illegal stuff. It's not necessarily that everyone else wasn't doing it. It's that you won the World Series and your team cheated its way to it. Whether anyone wants to accept that that happened or not, did they cheat best? You know, they have a really good, talented team. There was no doubt about that. But, yeah, they did cheat. So I think the idea that, you know, different people are coming up and saying different things. It is painful to hear that excuse. I don't think that's a very good excuse. That's like saying, of course I took steroids. Everyone else was taking. It was the steroid era. You had to take steroids. No, you made a decision to do it. Hey, you know, everyone else was cheating. We just got caught. Well, you got caught, and you won the World Series. So guess what? There have to be actions. There has to be consequences to actions. I thought it was a tone-deaf kind of apology from everyone connected to the Astros earlier in the day, and I thought that Dallas Keuchel went tone-deaf when he answered.
Oh, he stepped in it. Then he backed up, and then he stepped in it again, and then he tried to back up. Then he stepped in it again. Yeah, this was not a good day for Dallas Keuchel after a guy who did step forward at Sox Convention and Sox Fest, and he apologized, and he was one of the first players to do so, and I gave him credit for that. But this was disappointing because you are talking like a guy that doesn't understand. It goes back to what we talked about the Astros players at the mini press conference, the damage control that created more damage, and you didn't learn a thing. And they did not. Earn the World Series championship because they were more talented. Tell that to the Dodgers. Tell that to Yu Darvish. Tell that to the pitchers whose the fastballs that you knew were coming right down the middle and weren't going to move because you knew they were fastballs because you were getting an advantage because you were the ones that were caught. You cheated, though. You're acknowledging that, and it's a tainted title. So the 2017 Astros forever will live under the cloud of suspicion with an asterisk. So, and that is the difference. Other teams may have cheated. They might have done this. They might have done that. And there's always going to be that suspicion. But this team, this investigation provided evidence to document it. And legacies do matter, as we said earlier. So Dallas Keuchel spoke like a guy that just doesn't get it.
Yeah, I pulled this up so I can quote it. It's from Marwin Gonzalez from earlier this week. This is the only answer that any of these guys should be giving. I'm remorseful for everything that happened in 2017, for everything that we did as a group, and for the players that were affected directly by us doing this. Period. You don't have to say anything else. Don't elaborate. Don't try to go off and say, well, you know, people have been stealing signs for years, all this other stuff. You know what? We screwed up. We're sorry. And please forgive us. And I think the guy's name is Mike Bolsinger, a minor league slash major league 4A pitcher, whatever you want to call him, who's suing now, and I forget exactly, I'd have to pull this up, basically because he got shelled by the Astros and got sent down and now is suing because his career was derailed by this sign-stealing thing. I got to find that.
No, yeah, I read that as well. Mike Bolsinger, former Blue Jay and Dodger, among other teams. I read about that as well.
But he also had like a 6-point-something
ERA. Yeah, that's pathetic.
I'm just saying.
No, it's pathetic that he's suing.
He has sued the Astros. That is who he
what,
is.
What he needs is a class action suit. He needs Yu Darvish and guys like Clayton Kershaw to jump on. Now you got a lawsuit.
Yeah, nobody knows who the hell Mike Bolsinger is. He needs to get some name recognition there. Brandon Morrow would get hurt signing the deposition papers, I'm sure. But
hey, watch him be healthy this year. Now he's making nothing.
Last I checked, Dallas Keuchel is and was a pitcher. Wasn't this hitting, quote-unquote, scandal, the hitters receiving the signs prior to the pitch being thrown?
Who revealed the scandal?
The whistleblower? Yeah. Mike Fiers.
Another pitcher.
A pitcher. That's right. And he benefited from it. He got a World Series ring. He got all those memories. He got the parade. He got the party. And he's always going to have that, despite the fact that he has alienated himself from his former teammates. But listen, I don't think Dallas Keuchel or Justin Verlander or Charlie Morton, Lance McCullers, anybody that pitched on that team should be complaining. Did they benefit from it? Yeah, obviously they did. But I think it's different when you're talking about hitters and position players versus pitchers. I think there's a huge difference between the accountability and the contrition that you have to show after the fact. Everybody was doing it? Yeah, I think so, to some extent. I mean, I don't think it's any possible. It's not possible for me to be any better at this job that I do, but if there were a way that I could get ahead of the competition and be better somehow, I would probably do it. If you guys could be better radio hosts, again, not possible, but if there was a way, you would probably do it. You want to stay ahead of your peers. You want to stay ahead of everybody else. If it's benefiting you, I don't care that the Astros cheated. I don't care.
Dustin shocks me several times throughout the program.
You know what my fear is that idiot Cub fans are going to now find a way to turn this against Dallas Keuchel and the White Sox. But, oh, you got a cheater on your team. You got to say this guy. So, Dustin, don't even get the idea in your head, all right?
Nice job, 35th and Shields, signing a cheat like Dallas Keuchel.
There it is.
But that's fine. Why did he have to go so far? I don't think we would be here this morning criticizing Dallas Keuchel if he said, I've made my comments about that at Sox Fest. It's time to focus on the 2020 season.
Yep.
I can't wait to be part of a new team that's trying to get to the postseason. I'm proud to be part of it. I don't think we would have criticized somebody. Of course, somebody's going to criticize everybody for anything they say, right? But I don't think collectively. He just took it too far. He went too far for him. So to answer the question, did he step in it? Yes, he did.
That's a hard question to ask.
It's a pretty important question to answer, though.
Does the NBA All-Star Game being in Chicago merely underscore the national embarrassment the Bulls have become? Does having just one player involved in the weekend festivities, Zach LaVine, in the three-point shooting contest and not the dunk contest, represent a worst-case scenario?
Certainly isn't what the Bulls envisioned when they named Chicago as the host of the 2020 All-Star Game. It begs the question about who is the next Bulls player who will make an All-Star team, and I don't know the answer to that. I don't know that it's Zach LaVine. Maybe it is next year. Maybe he breaks through if he continues to be consistent. Maybe it's Lauri Markkanen. I don't know if he can make that step. He certainly has raised some questions this year. I don't know where they will be in a year, and I think it has to be part of a winning team, as we have seen, to kind of get the benefit of the doubt, to gain that respect that seems to be eluding Zach LaVine for whatever reason. So this does underscore just how underachieving the Bulls have been as an organization, because all the conversations tend to come back to, okay, well, the star watching and the celebrity sighting is done, it's like, okay, what about the team that actually plays here on a regular basis? And they haven't won a game this month, which is, you know, disappointing. And this season has been a colossal disappointment. So despite all of the things that are fun about this weekend, when the conversation shifts back to the Bulls and what they haven't become, it's kind of a downer, because the best days are behind them, and you're going to see Jordan somewhere around town. You're going to see Derrick Rose having hundreds of people wait in line to get their book signed. And Derrick Rose and Michael Jordan, you know, Derrick Rose didn't win a championship. Michael Jordan won 6, but they represent a time that of Bulls success that it just seems like a long, long time ago, and you just don't know when that's going to return.
You know, I got to tell you, it is a difficult weekend for the Bulls, because it's freezing cold and they have been frozen out of everything but one guy in the three-point shooting contest. It's not even the contest you want to see him in, right? So it's the whole thing is just it's a continuation of what has been this sort of wretched, Siberian weather of a basketball season. It's just been awful, and it's hard to watch. And now all the good players in the league come swooping in at once, and you can't convince any of them to come here, apparently. And there's no chance that you're going to be able to develop one. I think that's a good question. Who's the next Bull All-Star? because I don't know who it is. I guess it's Zach LaVine would be the answer if you're looking for an answer to it because he's their best player. But I don't know that he's an all-star.
No.
I don't know that he's an all-star next year. Now, maybe if he wins a three-point shooting contest, mm-hmm. you know, he'll somehow get some recognition. They got to win in order to create an all-star. So it is a cold, blistery, wretched day in the fine city of Chicago, and it's metaphoric.
And to answer your question, well, I don't think Zach is nothing personal, but I don't think he's that all-star. I don't think their next all-star is on this roster yet. And, you know, it's sad. Think about this. And every guest, and you guys had Kendrick Perkins on yesterday morning. Kenny Smith was here in studio with Bernstein and McKnight. All of the talk goes to, you know, in a roundabout way, without saying it, Jim Boylan's not a good coach and nobody wants to play here, right? I mean, isn't that what happens? Isn't that where the discussion kind of...
That's like the fifth question because you don't want to lead with a downer.
Right. Of course, but it all winds up there, right? And when you talk about the Bulls and you talk about, you know, the history of the Bulls, of course, you have the glory days ending in 98 after their sixth title. And then you talk about Derrick Rose a little bit and that's about it, right? I mean, there's nothing present about it. And that is the shame. It's a bad scene for the Bulls right now. Certainly a sleeping giant, I guess we could call them. There would be tons of people ready to jump right back into the old bandwagon. I know lots of people in my own family and friends group that would be right there if the Bulls got good again. But right now, it's a hard watch. And I understand Pax, lots of injuries, totally get it. I'm on board with Wendell Carter and Kobe White. I'd like to see more of Kobe White. Can we do that? But I think right now it is definitely a bit embarrassing for the Bulls.
Yeah, Paxson's been blaming injuries since he took the job in 2003. And yeah, he's had the job for nearly 20 years. There's not an executive in sports that has held a job longer without accomplishing anything. He hasn't really done one thing. His biggest claim to fame is lucking into Derrick Rose and getting to an Eastern Conference final where LeBron basically swatted them out. Handily. So, yeah, you could talk about Jim Boylan and Kendrick Perkins with you guys was great yesterday. Kenny Smith was great with Dan and Connor. All over the national media, though, everybody's taking shots at Boylan because he's an easy target. He can do kind of goofy things sometimes. He's unorthodox. I get it. He's an easy target. But he didn't hire himself for this position. You know, you have to look upstairs. You have to look where it starts. It's all about Paxson. It's all about Gar Foreman. They're the real root of the problems here. They've been the one constant in nearly 20 years where they have accomplished absolutely nothing. So, yes, the Bulls have become an embarrassment. It's easy to point out why. Everybody knows it. Some people don't want to say it, but it's absolutely a fact. As far as this weekend, you know, the fact that they don't have one player in the Rising Stars Challenge when they should have all of these rising stars and they have all these young players 25 and under and not one of them could even crack that game. That says a lot.
Why is Kobe White not playing 30 minutes a night? I don't get that at all.
Because Jim Boylan's a head coach.
I know, but I don't.
He's got to teach him, Espo. He's got to teach him to sit on the bench, apparently.
He's got to earn the right to play.
Uh-huh, sure.
You know, is there a difference between embarrassment and irrelevant? Like, I don't even know if they're just irrelevant right
when
now.
When you're so irrelevant in the situation like this, it becomes an embarrassment.
Okay, all right.
But I hear what you're saying.
Right, I just don't even know if when people talk about the NBA, they don't even think about the Bulls. Like, they're being, oh yeah, the Bulls, because it's here in Chicago on a national level. Now, there's been enough weight put on Zach LaVine. The only way that this weekend can get better or worse is if Zach bows out and has an absolutely awful showing in that three-point shooting contest, or... it could go the other way, and we could be cheering him loudly come Monday morning.
What if he wins it?
That's my
point. That'd be great.
Right?
Yeah.
If he wins it. If he were to win it, that could take some of the stink away. Right? It's like putting a little extra detergent in that load of laundry after the kids play basketball.
Get that bull stink off him. Mm-hmm.
Get that bull stink off.
Okay. And then he's owed an all-star appearance too, right?
No.
He was overlooked.
Hey, he wins the three-point contest, and they wake up Monday, and they're still 19-36.
I do believe the great Wendell Carter Jr., the king of the double-double, was going to be in that game, if not for injury.
He was like a little boy. He was so scared to be even answering the question.
What weekend sporting event are you most locked into watching? If you could only watch one of the dunk contest, the three-point shooting contest, the skills challenge, the NBA All-Star game, the XFL, or college hoops, what would you choose?
Yeah, you know, I think this is fun because I'm pretty sure I'm going to be locked in my house, right? So if I am locked in my house, I probably will be watching a lot of sports. But, you know, I'll do that anyway. I think I like the dunk contest most of all. I think the Saturday night stuff with the NBA will probably be what I'm watching, the dunk contest, the three-point shooting contest, the skills challenge. The All-Star game itself, it ends up not being nearly what you thought it was going in. Maybe it'll be a fun one, but that doesn't do a ton for me. I'll watch the XFL, but it's not like I'm looking forward to any one team or one player or one performance. So they have yet to capture that sort of part of my fandom where there's one matchup that you got to tune into. College hoops, you got to watch. We're getting to that point in the year. So I'll be watching all of it, but if I have to choose something, I'm going to take the dunk contest, I guess the three-point shooting contest, one or the other of those, and the Saturday night stuff.
It has been 32 years since Michael Jordan won the dunk contest at Old Chicago Stadium, beat Dominique Wilkins, and I have read no fewer than four stories, including an oral history of that night this week, because dunk contests have a way of staying in your memory and making an impact and making a lasting impression even 32 years later, even as iconic as that one was. And I know that's the exception, maybe not the rule, but that's the one event that you don't want to miss this weekend. I know Zach LaVine's not in it. He might regret not being part of it because this is when memories are made. And I think that he can also provide his own kind of memory with the three-point shooting contest, but that's not as big of a priority for me as the dunk contest. So I would order them dunk contest, then the three-point shooting contest, because he's involved in it and he kind of want to see how he fares. And Dustin makes an excellent point. If Zach LaVine wins this dunk contest or wins the three-point shooting contest, we'll have a much different impression and view, I think, of the All-Star weekend. Then the skills challenge, perhaps. And like, I don't like to watch people dribble and pass. I mean, I'll take a pass on that. And then the game itself, I'm still kind of finishing. I'm one credit shy of finishing the course to understand the scoring system, so I'm not sure if I'm going to watch or not. And then maybe XFL and college hoops.
Wait, hold on. Was pass on that? Was that an intentional pun?
Yes.
Very well. Very well done.
I still don't get it. I've read that thing several times through. I read it in my update last Friday. I still have no idea how that scoring system. Anyway, to answer the question quickly, pass, hard pass on the game as usual. It's definitely the dunk contest and the three-point shooting contest. XFL, I gave you a chance last week. You're okay. Some of the rules stuff was cool, but I still don't know half the guys out there. So that's where we're going.
Yeah, quarterback play in the XFL, I was told, was dreadful, shockingly. I didn't watch a second of it. Don't plan on ever doing it. So I'm going to cross that off the list right now. Some decent college basketball this weekend. I don't know how much I'm going to get into that yet before March starts. You know, we got a few weeks left there. The NBA All-Star game, I'll peruse. And yes, I'm still trying to get my head wrapped around some of the rules. But it's all about the All-Star Saturday night. Generally, three-point contest has a bull, so I guess there's some appeal there. But probably the dunk contest is the biggest draw for me. There's a white guy in it this year, which is always a fun little novelty. He could be like the modern-day Brent Berry, perhaps, if he wins the damn thing.
Domer, too.
And he's a domer, absolutely. We have Dwight Howard's corpse in the game as well. So it's a very odd collection of dunkers this year, enough to draw me in and get me a little
bit
fascinated.
Can his corpse still dunk?
Yeah, well, he's like 7 feet tall, so I should hope so.
Unfortunately, it is not a great college basketball schedule this weekend. I think there's really only one game in the Big Ten that's, and you can argue whether or not they're top 25 teams or not, right? But it's Illinois taking on Rutgers, kind of boring. Northwestern, Penn State, boring. You got Maryland at Michigan State, okay? That's at 5 o'clock at night on Saturday night. That's a nice appetizer to your All-Star Saturday night, I guess. But otherwise, college basketball is kind of a drag this weekend as far as heavyweights going toe-to-toe, which is what you like about college basketball, is they can actually play each other in the regular season.
Tomorrow, 7 p.m., Dustin, it is Northern Iowa at Loyola.
Right, that's a big
game.
That's
a big Ramblers.
Game. That's a huge game. Down to Rogers Park. Really big game.
There you go.
A few people, sold out!
A few people have texted in about the Daytona 500 this week. Anybody?
It's Sunday.
Anybody? But see, is that on the radar?
The Great American Race?
I didn't even realize that was Sunday.
Yeah. Did they have that at the Great American Ballpark?
I don't think turning left for 3 hours is a real sport.
But I'll tell you what, if Tiger can stay up near the top of the leaderboard on Sunday, I'll be all about the golf.
There you okay? go.
I'll be all about the golf on Sunday to watch him be at the top and then lose it on Sunday.
That's more intriguing than any college hoops game you mentioned.
Sunday for sure. Yep.
Northern Iowa at Loyola. It's not here.
That's Saturday.
What time does Tiger tee off?
Saturday. Tiger. Okay, that's it. 312-644-6767 is the number. It's Mully and Haw on the score.
Hey, it's Tiger.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.